Morning, folks. Welcome to the October 5th Aries Working Group call. I have a cool agenda today. Should be good. This is a Hyperledger call, and so the Hyperledger antitrust policy and the code of conduct apply. If you have questions or concerns, please raise them, and we will work as a community to solve them. It doesn't have to be publicly. You can reach out to anyone privately, and we'll help you with that. The agenda link is in the chat. You're welcome to make any additions, including adding yourself to the attendees list if you would like. Is there anyone new that would like to introduce themselves? All right. Announcements. We've got IW mid-November. I should have the dates on there, but I don't yet. And someone looks like someone added a link, which is fantastic. If you've not been to IW, I highly encourage it. Any other announcements we should have on the list, but don't?
Sam, one I'll put into the notes. We have a proposal for making a non-creds a top-level Hyperledger project. And so there is a document that needs review that proposes the project, and as well, if people are interested, they can add their names, optionally their organization and their email address. The names and email address, and optionally their organization to show that they support or they sponsor the activity, the proposal. So it is not a legal commitment for resources. It's just a indicator to the TSC that there are a bunch of people interested. So I will add a link to that.
Awesome. That would be great. I got some text in there, but I don't have the link handy.
Yeah, I got it.
Thanks, Stephen. Any other announcements that should be there? Awesome. Any release status or work updates for projects within Aries?
We will have an 075 release in the next day or two of ACAPI. 075 is a patch release that contains a couple of key things that we need to get out sooner than later.
Awesome. Other updates? All right. On our planned agenda, we're looking for some brief RWOT updates, so rebooting Web of Trust as it applies to our work here. Stephen has PR 775 OCA for Aries as an RFC PR. I wanted a quick conversation about proxy ledger access to see where we are. There was some discussion early on about why that might be needed and approaches and looking for an update there. And then there's a minor versions PR that I can also blame on Stephen that we need some discussion on, I believe, to resolve and help that happen. So that's what I had planned for the agenda. Are there any adjustments that we should make to the agenda before we get going? All right, let's dive in. RWOT updates. I know Stephen was kind of there. Was anyone else able to attend Rebooting Web of Trust? All right, Stephen, I think your kind of presence in reporting would be appreciated if you're willing.
All right, kind of presence is the reality. So I don't have as much as I should have as a report back. I went to Hyperledger Global Forum, was able to pick up a t-shirt, a very cool battery charger, and COVID at Hyper Global Forum. So that was fun. the week in between the two conferences, isolated in a hotel where a Dutch friend, Lena from Sovereign, was nice enough to deliver me a pile of stuff, including a microwave oven for my room, which was a huge help. Then I was not able to go to RWAT because I was, even though I was symptom free and able to, in theory, able to go out and about in the world, I was still testing positive. So I was not able to attend the conference. That said, I did a couple of sessions by Zoom, which is great. Go all the way to the Netherlands and then sit in your hotel room and Zoom into a conference a few blocks away. That was on the holder binding question. And that group looked into the work in extending the verifiable credential spec to include a way for an issuer to bind the credential to an entity. So in the work we do, or you know, if you're familiar with Anon Creds, the master, the link secret is the holder binding and it's core to Anon Creds. In W3C spec, there's nothing really about who the holder is. And in fact, you know, verified credentials can be passed between holders, and what you get out of a credential is that it was issued by a certain party and that it's not been tampered with. There's no claim made, no knowledge gained about who holds it or who is supposed to hold it or anything, or how. If you do want to bind the holder to the subject, for example, of the credential, how you do that. And so this was an attempt to do that. So that's a group I worked with, and we produced a paper and moved that along, which will go to the verifiable credentials community group. There was a group doing OCA, and since I'm going to talk about OCA, I will defer that one. But there was a bunch of OCA work, and then a pile of work done on Anon Creds. And so moving the spec forward, discussions of how to handle, for example, revocation registries. An idea came up and we're pursuing it about putting Anon Creds into the W3C verified credential format. And then a number of PRs were submitted to the Anon Cred specification itself. So that progress was made, and we basically met up with a number of people, new people to the community, or at least to the Anon Creds community, one of which is using a verifier combined with a smart contract. So to verify an Anon Creds presentation as part of a smart contract, which is fascinating to hear that type of thing is being done. A number of groups as well, talking about how to do, the ledger agnostic and on creds. So there was other groups on credential rendering other than OCA. I didn't see the output of their results. There was another group on basically sharding of a secret to enable recovery. So seed recovery. But I confess, I don't have access, and I couldn't find quickly the access to the final list of papers done. I probably should have looked harder. So that's as far as I can go.
Stephen, appreciate the report. I'm particularly looking forward to the OCA discussion, which will ensue momentarily.
Okay.
Any questions, comments, thoughts about RWAT? We have applause from Rodolfo.
Now, so one question, Stephen. The Anon Cred working group is hosted where? I saw the repo, but it's hosted in any organization right now, or
So it's currently hosted in what's called a community specification license organization. So this is a Linux Foundation JDF, what they call their JDF, which is their specification legal framework. And so it's just hosted independently as an organization, floating around, if you will, under that license. if the proposal for a non-creds to be brought in as a Hyperledger project, it would include the specification, and so it would move into Hyperledger. And I can glad to share you the, share the links. I can put that in a bit into this document, so you can find them.
Now it's worth noting. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Stephen. That the project proposed here is for the code implementation, not spec work in Hyperledger.
No, it includes the spec work. So when I talked to executive at when we were at Hyperledger Global Forum, and when I talked to the executive there. For Hyperledger, particularly Daniela, she was open to the spec work also going as long as it's JDF. As part of the keynote, it was referenced that Hyperledger operates a JDF framework, and therefore the specification could come there for at least the incubation period. It would still possibly, you know, it would then go to some other body for standardization, but the specification work could continue at Hyperledger.
And
that's because we put it under the community specification license. That means it's already covered.
So it would remain under the community specification license, but it would exactly. Be bundled underneath the project at Hyperledger.
Yes.
Thank you for the clarification.
Yep.
Cool. Any other comments? Questions, thoughts?
The one other thing was, I will find the link to the rebooting website. It is worth, or the GitHub repo, all of the papers. They sort of have an advanced papers and then papers that came out of it. I haven't, and that would be where to find the interesting articles. You might even scan down the advanced papers and see what you think are interesting. Each one is a two-pager. Yep, there you go. Oh, that's the paper I submitted. But in that, that's the draft document. Interesting. So that's after the advance. So that's not what I submitted. Excellent.
So here's there's draft, event, and final documents. Yeah. Has nothing yet.
Right. The advanced reading has a whole bunch of topics that are quite interesting. Those are what people planning to come to the conference submitted. And so, you know, not a bad thing to scan through those. They're all two pagers, basically. And then
you got an extra week. This is a fantastic way to fill it, man.
Exactly. There are some really good ideas for papers in here or ideas generally. Oh, one other thing to mention, a team did work on rich chat for DidCom.
Yeah, it was us, actually. Yes, I.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, actually, it was not called Rich Chat because we focused more on the anyways relationships.
Mm, yeah.
And actually, we in that sense, we focused mainly on the scalability and the factibility of doing group chatting or group messaging with DidCom when dealing with mobile agents and that kind of real world, let's say, agents, right? So mainly our progress was in that sense, and we proposed a kind of new actor in the DidCom world that we call the broadcaster, which is a sort of outbound mediator that helps the agents to send the messages to other participants of the groups without necessarily knowing the contents of that message. So that's why it's kind of a mediator, because they know about the endpoints, but not the contents. So then we found some ideas regarding the creation of a network of broadcasters in a way that no one of them could actually know about the full list of participants in order to make it a bit more interesting for privacy reasons. So yeah, maybe we expect to continue working on this this week, so we can probably present something for in this group maybe next week or the other one. Right?
I was just thinking I was going to ask you to present on it, so I will put you on the schedule for next week. That sounds great.
Okay, I don't know if we can commit to have something very advanced, but we will do our best to show more in details our ideas and our progress on this field.
Fully baked, not required, but we would love to some updates on thinking and ideas and everything else on how that might apply. So that sounds great.
Great.
I had enough of an over beer discussion with the folks, with Ariel and a couple of folks, and it was really good.
Excellent. So you put my name. Okay, so
you're on the list, man. That's it.
Okay, but actually, there were three people. We have Karim and also Berend. But okay, I will do it.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be you. I'm just kind of reminding myself of who said they would do it. I'm less concerned about who is involved in the presentation.
Okay.
And of course, if you need to adjust that, just ping me. Let me know. I'm not. There's no penalty for not making this arbitrarily imposed deadline of next week.
No problem.
Since I have no authority to do anything, I think that should be clear, but just to highlight it. Very cool. Anything more before we jump into OCA?
I just wanted to say to Stephen, sorry that I laughed about your COVID comment. I thought you were doing like a deadpan thing and that you got the COVID after your trip, but then you went through your story and it was a very sad story. So I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it got worse. Let me tell you, not because of the COVID. The COVID was fine. The trip got worse. I discovered how efficient the emergency rooms are in the Netherlands, how good they are. That's not a good thing to learn.
Well, it might be a good thing to learn if they're amazing, but well, we're glad you're still here. That's the biggest thing we want to highlight here. Glad you survived.
It was touch and go.
Awesome. Well, sounds good. So let's Stephen check on with OCA. I'm assuming you want to share.
Yes.
The con is yours.
All right. I don't know why that's sitting there. Okay. Anon creds. Wait a minute. There it is. Okay. See my screen? Okay. Yep. So we've been talking about OCA for a little bit. We've had some evolution of it. So this is where the conversations I've had came up with, and this is a proposal, and definitely want input from others on whether this would work and how it would work and so on. But I think this is a reasonable way to do it. So stock image of overlay capture architecture, reminder of what we're in. You basically have a piece of data over here, the capture base, and then you can have all of these overlays that define attributes of or additional information about the data structure itself or the data elements within the structure. And for us, that's a credential. And the attributes within the credential, the claims within the credential. And so what we want it used for in Aries is multilingual support for labels and information about credentials and attributes. So we want to be able to know the name of the credential in whatever language the user, holding their phone wants to see it in. Same with the attributes. They want to have labels that are in their language, but that signify what the attributes are. Likewise, multilingual support for information about the issuer. Knowledge about country and language settings and data types, so that, for example, a date can be presented in the native style of the user, the holder, for example. And then finally, we want to have credential branding inputs so that the issuer can influence what the credential looks like on the screen, at least for the holder, but possibly also for the verifier, so that it doesn't just have a random color. And so this all comes together in this slide. So you've got, this is a generic, I don't know anything other than what is in the schema and the cred def object. So I've got, the issuer name is kind of ugly. It's a DID. The student card is a schema and a version. I can probably do better than this, but by default, I know that student_first_name is the credential attribute in the claim. So with this, I can have an English and then a French version. The labels are changed, the style of presentation of the date. I've got a logo for the credential or the issuer. I've got a proper name for it in English and French. I've got a background image on the credential that the issuer has specified. Notice that the size and things are set. And then, I've got, the labels on the attributes. I could have help text links. I could have a little icon for information that a person could click to see more information about what first name is and so on. So you've got additional capabilities for it. So that's why we want to do this. This is a summary of the PR. Talks about what overlays are used. So overlays are defined in the OCA spec. So there's a set of core overlays. And so we use a set of those. I also propose, I've been going back and forth with how to get that credential branding and how that should work, and mutually decided that we would have an ARIES specific overlay. One, not multiple, but one ARIES specific overlay. So I'll talk about that. An OCA source spreadsheet that allows entry of all of the information needed into a spreadsheet that can then be converted. And so it contains basically all of the information you'd have, including the single and multi-language overlays. In the multi-language, the spreadsheet form is really good because you basically have a tab for each language, and then that can be provided to the expert that is going to translate all of the labels and information and so on into the a quality translation for each language that's supported. A style guide for what the credential branding overlay looks like. So I'll talk about that. And then the mechanism that allows the issuer to deliver the OCA bundle to a holder and the holder to the verifier. And I've looked at and figure that credential supplements is the best for this. So this is a little weird in that it's two PRs, neither of which have been merged yet that we're building on. So we do have to look at that as the mechanism. And it does provide some things we have to do before we're ready. So it does mean there's some work. And then finally, the holder and verifier activities. So when a holder gets an OCA bundle and it applies to a specific credential, what they have to do, what tools we can provide for extracting the data from the various JSON overlays and applying them. So that's the summary of the overlay. So specifically, I think I'll just jump to these various things. That's not where I wanted to jump to, so I'll jump back. Yeah, this is the one I wanted to use. So basically, within the RFC, we talk about, we have the capture base, which is basically an overlay in and of itself. So the capture base basically just lists the attributes within a credential. It also has a flag or a an array that says certain attributes are PII, and there's a specific taxonomy, this Cantera Initiative's Blinding Identity Taxonomy, which should be used as the criteria for whether that should be set for any given attribute. So that goes in the base capture. There's a character encoding overlay, UTF, Base64, et cetera. There is a format overlay that defines what format the data is in. And then, so that gets us, there's a data type up here in capture base as well. So you've got a data type, a encoding, and a format that together give you formatting information about the data element, the attribute, the claim. Then you get the multi-ledger or multilingual overlays, the label, the information, which is the help text, and then a thing called the meta overlay, which contains information about the credential itself, such as the name of the credential and the description. And we use it for a few more things. So all of these are multilingual. So in the spreadsheet that I'll show you, all of those get entered there. These other ones get entered in a primary one. An interesting question is whether for a non-creds, we add the date int as a format type. So in other words, the format overlay in the specification has certain formats, but it would be helpful in the anoncreds case to use date int, which uses this technique we use as, September 29, 2022 is an integer 20,220,929. So that's our way of doing enabling predicates to be used with dates. So that we probably want to keep in, but something to think about. Okay, and then finally, we have one ARIES-specific overlay, which I call the branding overlay, currently credential branding, but I think I'll just drop the credential and make it the branding overlay. And here are the proposed fields. A logo, either as a URI or a Base64 inline. Background image and Base64, same thing. So the same idea that it can be provided either way. Header and footer background colors, header and footer font colors, primary attribute and secondary attribute. And the idea here is if the thing that is displaying the entity wants to put a label and a data value on it, the issuer could say, well, use this one and or this one, the primary and the secondary. So the general idea is you're not going to, in that image, you are, you're not going to put all of the data for the credential on here. It would say, well, if you do want to put something, then put that one in. Put these two values. That's basically it of what is the information we're going to put into it. So I've got this thing about the date int, and then this is the spreadsheet of what it looks like. So you've basically got a spreadsheet of some instructions. This has to be cleaned up some more. You have the main tab, which has the attribute name. So basically this is the names of the claims in the schema. You've got an attribute type. You've got whether it's flagged as PII or not, the character encoding, formatting, and we'll talk a bit about this style right here a bit. Data entry codes. I'm not quite sure how this would be used. The idea here was this was a sort of a date int. So I'm not quite sure how we want to use that. And that's something we have to discuss, is how data gets into it. So that's the single language, you know, single version that has the base information in, and then a language one would have all of the attributes, and for each attribute, sort of the multilingual specific, the label and the information and entry codes. Then you've got a French version of the same. And if you want to support more languages, you just add more tabs and they all get generated in. Then these first two columns are used differently than are used as basically name value pairs for the meta overlay. So the meta overlay, reminder, is about the credential itself. And so it has got basically name value pairs that you put in, and these get generated into it. And so name and description is there, but you also have things like the name of the issuer, the description of the issuer, a URL for the issuer, and we may come up with other things. That, again, is the point of getting this out there for feedback.
So quick question, Stephen. If this is issuer specific, then this only works if you have a single issuer within a governance ecosystem, right?
So yes, and we can put that. I basically have that in the, you know, or plan to have. I can't remember whether I put it in or not, but yes. So there's a few things here that can be done with that. Obviously, a publisher of a schema, say ISO, or, you know, a group of entities.
So this is the owner of the schema, not the issuer of the credential.
So this is the issuer of the credential that I primarily talk about, because that's the obvious use case. But the publisher of the schema could also do it. Obviously, they would leave off the issuer information, but they could provide everything else. They couldn't, yeah, they'd have struggle with the branding, I think.
Okay.
You know, and then the other side of it is a wallet maker could decide to have its own set of overlays because the issuers aren't giving them. And so they create a trusted set of them for the common credentials that they see. You know, there's different ways to do it, but I think that most obvious is the issuer would provide this information.
One thing about their scheme is potentially if the branding can be separated somewhat from the other bits, then you may be able to have the two different
providers. Yeah,
exactly. So then you can have one with the governance framework, but then branding is issuer specific.
Yep, totally. And one of the things is, I am trying to keep this simple for, for the Aries community to use the common pattern. But that absolutely is an intention of what the OCA community has created, with the idea that you have a capture base that has a certain hash signature on it, and then you have associated with it other credentials that are tied to that capture base, that are tied to that same hash, so that you can combine them in interesting ways. So you could have multiple providers of different overlays. That is totally valid. And there's other purposes for OCA, such as translation of semantically equivalent fields between two different data structures, like a mapping between them and things like that. I'm purposely avoiding all of those topics in this to focus on what we need for Aries. That makes sense?
I appreciate the narrow scope there.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that it makes sense that the issuer would provide this. This is a debate we can have. I think there's, in my mind, the most useful way to do this is to base it on a governance file, even if it's a governance file with only one issuer. So the governance file attempts to do none of this overlay stuff, but when it comes to like identifying the issuer, for example, the governance file could play a role there that that overlaps with the capabilities that you're describing here. And so trying to find sort of the narrowest common path that eases implementation, but also meets all the requirements, I think is the discussion point. But I don't want to derail your presentation because it's awesome.
Yeah. So just to touch on that though, in that way, then whoever published the schema could put basically the overlay file out, and then the issuer could put the additional information in the governance, you know, or as additional overlays. Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of ways to play it.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that. Warren asked a question about localized strings for attribute values. That's what this is for. So this is basically saying that, let me come back to main. So this is enumerated values. I've got a set of enumerated values, and then over in the translations, I've got the name value pairs basically of the enumerated values. I've got BC and then expanded the full name of it. And again, in French, I can go to that same one and I've got the name value pairs within that. So that's the idea of that support. So that's there. Other interesting thing we talked about in, I think I've got that covered actually, I'll just leave it. Let me keep going because I think I touch on it in a bit. So that's the proposed structure of the spreadsheet. And basically there's a tool that converts a spreadsheet into the JSON overlays and does all the calculations of the hashes that connect the different overlays together. The credential branding style guide, we created this, or the team at British Columbia created this for our own use. And basically I want to include it in there. So the guide is in here. So it talks about, you know, what goes in the various overlays, how the elements of the branding, of the branding overlay in particular, where those would be applied and what you get and the layouts of those and things like, you know, lock the ratio to 2:1, lock the header and footer height, but you can display it on different phones in comparable ways. The specification of the logo image, the specification of the background image, notably the aspect ratios are probably the most important part, but obviously the different file type supported and things like that. So that's the idea of the style guide. Now, remember, this is issuer's guidance to how the assets they provide should be used and holder verifiers on how the assets they receive should be applied. Obviously, any holder app, any, you know, wallet is free to do whatever it wants. Any verifier is free to do whatever they want. So it is, you know, it is a guide and it's intended, but we're in a decentralized thing. Issuers are going to create what they create in their OCA bundle, and the holders software is going to display it. There's a long debate that I had with the OCA folks that the issuers would actually provide the layout. And I just think that is impossible to work, you know, getting 100 issuers to generate a layout that a holder wallet receives and then tries to adhere to in laying out all of those things. That seems very difficult. So that's why we pushed hard for all the issuer provides is the elements, and the expectation is the verifier will generally follow the style guide to lay out those. But again, it's a should, not must, in laying this out. So that's the idea of that. Does that all make sense and seem reasonable? All right.
Colton's got his hand up.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that this was the idea of having the holder or the verifier choose the layout rather than the issuer. To me, that reminds me of the whole responsive web design push and how even still some websites or many websites out there still don't conform to smaller screen sizes. And exactly. Who knows what the screen size is that you're dealing with, you know?
Yep. They started to go down a path, the OCA folks that I was talking to started to go down the path of the issuer could issue a layout plus a per screen size. And I'm just thinking, oh my God, trying to tell an issuer, you know, oh, you got to construct all these things. And then all of them with that much control would put their own spin on what they want it to look like. And now the wallet looks like a mess because they're all different. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah, there's also a chance for phishing in there too. Warren's got his hand up, but real quick, I wanted to mention, I'm totally cool with the fact that there's like a common layout, so long as we have a mechanism as a community of generating the next common layout, should we learn about either something that needs to be supported in addition to or a newer version of this one. So
maybe the mechanism is to create this as a separate RFC.
It might
use the RFC mechanism.
I think that might be true. And the useful part about that is that we can get smarter as a community. I'm all for saying like we should use this one, so long as there's a way to say, hey, there's this other one we think is important too.
Yep, 100%.
Warren.
So I think I'll do that then, maybe. Create this as a parallel rather than embedded markdown. Create this as a separate RFC, and then we can AIP lock it as we go along, independent of the OCA for Aries.
Yeah, I wanted to mention two things. One is related to what Sam just said. Thanks, Sam. That we may discover over time that there are different ways that we want to present these things. So, you know, this we're assuming a card layout, but perhaps, you know, in time there will be for different kinds of things, maybe there'll be medallions or, you know, other kinds of visualizations, and ensuring that we have the ability to extend to convey those kinds of intents in the future, I think would be, could be important.
Okay, keep going.
Yeah. And the other thing that I just wanted to mention from the OCA spec itself is that they envisioned, and I agree that like the issuer is the most common use case here, but they did elucidate some verifier use cases that might be, you know, interesting when, you know, credentials become really widespread and something that you perhaps didn't intend to be used that was issued in Finland to be viewed by somebody in China, that, but it turns out that it's really useful that the, you know, a verifier in China, for instance, may well have their own overlay for presentation. So, and again, we don't need to, you know, let's walk before we run. So I think I agree with the approach and stuff, but there are certainly interesting use cases around that. So I'm encouraged to see this happening. This is great.
On your first point, I really 100% agree, which is, you know, guidance, this is guidance and should be applied, but 100%, if they use a different interface, if they use a different thing than credentials, they still have the assets that they know roughly what they should, the issuers might provide, but they could use them in a totally different way. 100% agree with that. And as I say, it's up to the, it doesn't have to be in the guide for them to choose to do that. As long as they're not, you know, as long as they're using the assets.
Yeah, like I could see you having multiple kinds of representations, even in the same wallet, right? So you might have a different representation of something that represents an award, right?
Yes.
Which is, you know, more in the shape of a medallion or a, you know, a certification crest, or, you know, I could see all kinds of different representations that could evolve over time. But I think, again, like starting in one place and having, you know, a way of specifying best practices for that, I think is a great start.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one automatically is just a stacked set of credentials where all you're showing is the header of each one and then the entire of the bottom one, or the, you know, the one that's on top. So yeah, lots of things in there. Okay. Okay. Credential supplements as the delivery mechanism. So I had originally proposed the idea of an Aries resource server, and this could still come into play. The problem we've got that's been nagging at me is there's no way for the issuer to tell the holder where that bundle is located. So I was proposing some hacks like, oh, the holder might have a list of Aries resource services servers that it could go to and things like that. But it was ugly. So when Sam introduced credential supplements, that became a real easy way to do it. That basically we have an official supplement type called OCA bundle, and a signed attachment decorator is added for the OCA bundle that is either uses Base64 inline or uses an external link, perhaps to an ARS instance. So now you've got the mechanism as the issuer to deliver where that bundle is. Optional credential supplements on presentation. So again, with credential supplements, the holder can pass to the verifier along with a presentation all of the same supplements. So if it uses sources some claims from a credential that has an OCA bundle, they could add that OCA bundle to the presentation and pass it along. So same item, same attachment, including the signature from the issuer. That's the reason for the signature on this, that it's a signed attachment, is because when it gets passed on from the verifier or holder to the verifier would like to make sure that they've got the right thing. So that's the reason for the signed attachment versus just an attachment. Caveats for that. Anytime you use links in these things, you have the potential for the call home. And so I want to raise that. links might be the OCA bundle itself if you use the link style of attachment, or the graphic elements within it might be links. And basically, the thing you really want to avoid is the issuer creates a unique URL per credential. So they have a web service that responds to these requests for these URLs. It's not a file server, but it actually is a web service that is doing logic behind. And so they get notified when the holder receives the credential, which is okay. They already know they just delivered the credential to the holder. So that's not a particular concern. But when the holder passes the attachment to the verifier and then retrieves the OCA bundle, well, that could create a problem. So holder may decide not to pass any bundle with external links in it, for example. That could be a thing they do, and just the verifier doesn't have that information available to them. I don't know. That's a caveat in here about any time you use links in these types of things. And then this talks about just the holder verifier use of the OCA bundle. I think this is pretty obvious. Once you have this JSON structure with specifically named overlays that have specific meanings, you basically extract information from them and use them when you display the data, the multilingual labels. You can have help text. You can know that a piece of PII, and you might have special markings for a piece of PII. You've got the branding assets and what you want to use with them. So that becomes possible. And that's it. Comments and questions?
Yeah. So is there, I'm trying to, again, wrap my mind around the issuance flow, where perhaps you are creating an offer as a QR code. Would this stuff then be encoded at that point in time, or does that happen later?
That happens later. So the flow is, the QR code is to establish a connection and what you want to do with the connection. So that's all it contains. It would contain the same information. It's only on the last step on the issue credential. So if you go through the issue credential protocol, the last step issue credential, we're adding a supplement to it and then including that. And that would be after the DIDCOM connection is established. So there's lots of bandwidth is the theory.
Good. Okay. Thanks.
But again, that bandwidth question, that goes to the, well, maybe you provide the OCA as a link and then it gets fetched at a later time, or maybe they already have a credential with that, so they don't even need to fetch it. Options like that. Sylvain?
Yes, as you know, we made a PR in the BC wallet in the past week. Maybe it's not the right place, but in the past, we think that that is the good place because we cut and paste the code from THC LAM and we don't want to go too fast in the biphone. And you, what do you think in the future? Do you think I can, I have to wait and to be more precise on what we have to do in the future, or we can go ahead and take the lead and maybe write some code line and put it in the bifold. I don't know what you think about
it. So my thought is that we can go ahead with, so there's sets of code here. So one is that I'm a holder and I have an OCA bundle already.
Yes.
And I can use it. How I got it, I don't know. And I think we can continue on with that and sort of compile an OCA bundle into the wallet for the specific credentials we have, or provide a link to where that is. And then we just use that. And that's a crawl. So we can at least get the code in for that. And then in the meantime, we work on the credential supplement mechanism and make sure that we get that built into the, you know, things like ACAPI for sending it and AFJ for receiving it. So the protocol level things would go at the AFJ level, but that processing that you're talking about, I think we can move forward with that. And, you know, we don't know where that OCA bundle's coming from, but we can access it for now and use it. So we get that code in. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
How heavy are these bundles? Because if you use supplements, credential supplements, it's going to go all the way with the credential, right?
So obviously the big thing is the size of the images. Those are the only two things that have any weight to them.
And they're compressed zip files in their bundle format, right, Stephen?
No. Well, it's how you want to. Right now we talked about we would just use JSON to send those about. That needs to be specified in the OCA file.
It does. I thought that an OCA bundle was actually like a zip file of all the files together is created by the existing software out of the spreadsheet, or is that not correct?
When we talked about it earlier, we talked about sending it as just the JSON of all the overlays as a big JSON structure. But yeah, we need to nail that down. Shoot, I'll put that in there.
Yeah, I believe that Sam is correct, at least from the envisioning of the original spec. I think it indicates that the assumption is that they would be bundled together in a single file that's compressed to the extent it can be. So,
yeah.
I think that's a reasonable approach, but we certainly would need to decide if that's something we're going to support in this or not.
Yeah, we have to decide exactly how it comes across. The other thing to say though is that other than those two images that go in it, in the branding, the icon and the background image, those are the only things that are of significant size. Everything else is, you know, just text. You know, how many languages you support, and all of that is just text that'll compress, I would think, pretty well.
But each overlay is a separate file, right?
No, like, it doesn't have to be.
So, so they can be combined into a single structure. And that's what we talked about in the last session I did here on OCA, was combining them into a single JSON structure versus a zip collection of JSON files that you assemble. But I'm really not fussed either way. It's easy enough to handle on either side. I would defer to any developers to decide what they want.
And if you receive the file from another method in your wallet, how you know that the credential need to use that file for displaying?
So one of the things that I also realized I don't have in there is the binding to the specific schema and cred def. And then there is also a calculated hash on the capture base. And so a way to generate that capture base from the attributes is needed. So I got to, that's how you know. It's associated with the cred def. If it's coming from the issuer, obviously it already is automatically associated. So you don't really have to worry about it. You know it's associated with that. But that's more or less the technique we have to nail down. And you're right, these are good questions that have to get resolved.
Super good questions. The RFC is also there. Yeah. We are at time, unfortunately, because this has been really excellent conversation. Thank you, Stephen, for the work and for presenting. We're going to push the other discussions. Those are a lot less urgent to future weeks. Sylvan, did you have something?
Yes. Yes. The library from THC Lab does not work with React Native, and we have to cut and paste and make it work locally. Do you want to put this in the BIFO? What are you gonna do with this problem?
Again, the developers need to decide on this. So we need to get you and Klesio together, anyone else who's interested in this, and decide what is the right thing to do. Obviously, I'd like it as high as possible up. To me, it makes sense. So I don't know if JavaScript EXT is the right place to do that, whether it's THC Labs and have a React Native wrapper version in there. I just like you to get the developers together, which is that meeting you requested, Sylvan, and I'm trying to get that lined up. But I think that's the real question, is where is the right place to put that component?
Yeah, we can make a meeting with dev and talk about it. You can invite us.
Yeah. Sam, anyone from Indicio or anyone else wants to join?
James Ebert's probably the best person for that. I mean, it also relates directly to Bifold, and so it might be worth having that conversation as part of one of the Bifold meetings.
Oh, yeah, that's the best idea. Yeah. Okay. That's just at a level I don't understand, so I don't know well enough to have a strong opinion other than saying as high as possible, because everyone wants to use this.
We are over time. No, yes. That's excellent conversation. Appreciate this. We'll continue on in other areas and in other meetings. But thank you for that. Please jump into the chat channel in Discord if you have additional questions, and tag the relevant folks, and the conversation can continue there. Thanks, folks, and hope everyone has a wonderful day.